There is a story about a Franciscan, a Benedictine, and a Jesuit, and they were walking on a path, and they were talking about which of their religious orders was the best one. And all of a sudden, they had this vision, all of them the same vision, which is really a theophany, and it was an apparition of the nativity scene. And the Franciscan, he's like, oh my gosh, like St. Francis of my founder, of my order, like invented this nativity scene, but this is like I'm seeing Jesus, I'm seeing Joseph and Mary. And he gets on his knees and he's weeping. And the Benedictine starts chanting the psalms of praise and is just kind of elevated, even lifts off the ground. The poor Jesuit, you know, the Jesuits are famous for their schools, and he goes and he puts his arm around Joseph. And he says, so have you given any thought to what school this kid is going to attend? I love it. Okay, today we're thinking about St. Joseph, our patron, because his feast day was yesterday. And so we're having our beautiful celebration today, and we've been celebrating a lot of different ways. What just jumped out at me was this gospel. Whoever loves his life loses it. And this whole bit about the grain of wheat that dies, and then it becomes fruitful because it dies. Today we had a wedding. We've also got a marriage retreat going on. Started last night, goes all the way till tomorrow. A really beautiful thing. And like, in marriage, when St. Joseph is a great example, like, there's this death that happens. The gospel at the wedding this afternoon was just that, like, no greater love has one than this, to lay down his life. And I looked at the groom, I said, you're laying down your life for Courtney, and Courtney, like, you're laying down your life for Josh. Like, you lay down your life, and in the dying, in the laying down of your life, you find your life. And you become more alive than you've ever become before. Joseph laid down his life for the Holy Family. He laid down his life for the Blessed Mother, laid down his life for Jesus. And in the laying down of his life, found it. And it's awesome. And so our gospel today is perfectly fitting. So are the other readings, because they talk about the heart. And on the table in the narthex, everybody, we had this printed over at the office hub. And it is the document that Pope Francis wrote for the year of St. Joseph. It's called Patris Cordae, which means the heart of a father. And it's all about the year of Joseph, which we are in right now. And I just wanted to tell you a little bit about this document, because it's my favorite of Pope Francis's documents so far. It's so good. And it goes really, really deep. It's organized into 7 sections, and it's really short. If you've never read a papal document, this is a good one to start with. And again, there's stacks of them in the narthex for everybody to take. But it's organized into 7 subsections that are all talking about our saint, St. Joseph. And the first section is this. I'm going to tell you the sections and my favorite part in them. And then, but like each section is only like 7 or 8, 10 paragraphs, you know. The first section after the introduction is a beloved father. And like it talks about, Pope Francis talks about how St. Joseph was, he came to recognize just how much God loved him in putting him in the Holy Family and in giving him a vocation and giving him a purpose for his life. And in recognizing that his life was at the service of the entire plan of salvation, and that he had an indispensable role in salvation history because God loved him enough to put him with the Holy Family. But Pope Francis is going like, that's all of us. We are all beloved sons and daughters of Almighty God, and every single person has incredible value and is supposed to have a pivotal part to play in the role of, in the history of salvation, that somebody should go to heaven because you lived, and hopefully more than one somebody. But because we had an effect on people and their salvation. Wow. Instead of to blow your mind. And here we have St. Joseph, who, because he accepted his vocation and recognized that God loved him this much that put him in this, that because he lived that and accepted that, he opened the door of opportunity for all of us for eternal life. Number two is a tender and loving father. And it talks about how, Pope Francis talks about how Joseph was perfectly human, just like you and me, like 100% human. The Blessed Mother was immaculately conceived, no original sin. Jesus was half God, half man. Joseph in the Holy is the only one in the Holy Family who was 100% human, just like us, and not immaculately conceived, not God. We can look to him. And he talks about how Joseph was a weak person. He had his weaknesses. Listen to this. The history of salvation is worked out through our weaknesses. All too often, we think that God works only through our better parts, but most of his plans are realized in and despite our frailty. Isn't that lovely? Like we think that God only works through our better parts, but most of his plans work through our frailty. I used to always want to be a really, really, really brilliant, smart priest. And I wanted to be like this big, fancy theologian. I wanted to, because I knew these big, fancy, schmancy, holy, smart, smart priests. And I wanted to be like them. But then, what happened one time? I took the fifth graders on a field trip and they wrote me thank you notes. And one of them said, "Dear Father Mike, thank you for having the mind of a fifth grader." And I it was the best trip ever. And I realized that I don't have to be a fancy schmancy theologian. That's not how God made me. That's great. I'm glad that I'm not. Because God works in and through our weaknesses. Isn't that lovely? I love it. And he talks about Joseph and how Joseph, was that not the case with this guy? He wasn't a theologian. He wasn't the strongest guy. He was just like David. Remember David? Last week we had that in our readings. And David was the least of all of his brothers, but God picked him. Much the same with Joseph. The third section is an obedient father. And here it talks about how four times the angels come to Joseph to tell Joseph what to do. Every single time, Joseph hears it and gets on his feet and does it. He doesn't sit around and think about it. He doesn't I don't know if I should do that or not. He does it immediately. And sometimes we feel like God calling us to do something and we might put it off. We might be, maybe next week, maybe next year. But Joseph obeys immediately. And for that, he gives us a good example. Whenever you hear the voice of the Lord whenever we hear the voice of the Lord tell us something that we know we should do, like go to Mass, go to confession, pray, do a holy hour, do these sorts of, read the script, say something to somebody that we know we're supposed to say it to, we should obey immediately. Remember one homily 2 years ago, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, do it. Okay. Listen to this. Fourth thing is an accepting father. Listen to this. Often in life, things happen whose meaning we do not understand. Our first reaction is frequently one of disappointment and rebellion. Ding, ding, ding. Sound familiar to people? I mean, it's that is often the case when things happen that we don't like or don't understand. We're disappointed. We throw a temper tantrum, all those sorts of things. We rebel. But Joseph set aside his own ideas in order to accept the course of events, and mysterious as they seemed, to embrace them, take responsibility for them, and make them a part of his own history. He did not passively resign to God's will, but courageously and firmly embraced it. And that's be able to embrace things even when they don't turn out as we wish, is Joseph. Joseph's life's plan was altered 1,000% when the angel came and said, take Mary, this pregnant teenager, into your home. And you're not the father. And everything in his whole life, he's seeing his whole life flash ahead of him. And like, that's not what I planned. And he could have been really disappointed about that. He could have rebelled about that. But instead, he humbly, joyously accepts the will of God the Father. And that's got to be true for us. No matter what the thing is, whether it has to do with some sort of relationship, whether it has to do with something at the work, some place, and something with friendship, that this like job, whatever. But like, when stuff happens that we don't expect or don't anticipate and quite frankly don't want, to be able to accept that in a place of humility is Joseph. Okay, we're getting there. Fifth section is a creatively courageous father. Listen to this. This is the longest section. My favorite line is this. We should always consider whether we ourselves are protecting Jesus and Mary, for they are also mysteriously entrusted to our responsibility, care, and safekeeping. In other words, that we are to be courageous. Courageous has to do with the heart. In protecting our Lord and in serving the interests of our Lord. In creative ways. Serving the Lord, protecting the Lord, loving the Lord, spreading the Lord in creative ways is St. Joseph. Okay, number six is a working father. Of course, St. Joseph is a worker. We're having pasta downstairs after Mass called sawdust pasta. Traditional St. Joseph fare, because he was a workman. And because the sawdust looks very good. But like, this is, listen to this. From Joseph, Jesus learned the value, the dignity, and the joy of what it means to eat bread that is the fruit of one's own labor. He participated in the work of salvation and cooperated with God. Like, his work, he worked hard. He built the house that Mary and Joseph lived in, and Jesus lived in. He taught Jesus the tricks of the trade of how to work with his hands. His hands were no doubt quite calloused. And he cooperated. He built the first perpetual adoration chapel in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Like, his hands cooperated with the work of salvation. And I think it's a good thing for us to look at our hands and say, have my hands cooperated and participated in the work of salvation, of building up the church, the kingdom of God on earth, of in the local domestic church of the house. Okay, the last section is a father in the shadows. And here is where Pope Francis talks about how Joseph was never in the center of attention. He was happy to fade away, to be veiled. You might say, you notice all of our statues are veiled. That's because it's the fifth Sunday of Lent and the beginning of Passiontide. In the olden days, the gospel, the last line of the gospel was on this Sunday, and Jesus hid himself. And he kind of withdraws in preparing for Holy Week. And we begin that kind of preparation now. But here Joseph was always in the shadows and liked to be in the shadows, didn't want to be the focal point of attention. And here he talks about, Pope Francis talks about all the people who are often overlooked, but yet who sustain our world. People who do not appear in newspaper and magazine headlines. Doctors, nurses, storekeepers, supermarket workers, cleaning personnel, caregivers, transport workers, volunteers, public safety personnel, and then priests and religious and so forth. They understood that no one is saved alone. And they worked in the shadows. And they work in the shadows. And I think that's a good place for us to recognize that it's okay to be in the shadows. It's a good thing. Sometimes people think, oh, I'm just a youth. I can't amount to too much. Or I'm just a housewife. I can't do that. But just know, no. You might feel like you're in the shadows, but what you're doing is essential and probably the most important stuff. And so, my gosh, this is a good document. You can see these sections and you can find your own favorite parts. I highly encourage you. This is so good for our spiritual lives to look to our dear Saint Joseph, his example of all of the virtues, his example of devotion to our Lord and to our Lady, his zealous, zealous pursuit of God, his deep, deep love for the church. And that's our Joseph. And we're blessed to have him as our saint. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.